It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Good to have you here on this Saturday, and truly one of those transition Saturdays. For some people that just fish, it's not. But for guys like Mike and I, it's a which way do you go? You hunt, yeah. Do you fish?
And north, go south.
Well, and one of the things you look at is weather-wise. I know, looking at reports from last weekend, so you and I were both thinking about heading north. You went, and we'll talk about your dove hunt you went on. I went up, didn't end up shooting doves, ended up working, working on the camp and doing all that. But at the same time, my buddies that went south had some fantastic trips. The seas laid down, got out there, and scamp, beeliners.
Oh, yeah.
Scamp, beeliners, amberjack. They said fish grouper. Big grouper.
Mm-hmm.
Fish were doing it. We talked about that a little bit, too. After Tropical Storm Gordon, did you have that kind of grouper storm and shake it up? I don't know personally. I just know from seeing pictures from my buddies, they did pretty good. They did real good. Yeah. So, and right now, you look at the temperatures we're dealing with, even though we have a little bit of north wind over the weekend, we're still dealing with temperatures in the 90s. Oh, it's summertime hot. I'm seriously debating. I don't know if I just won't give the doves another weekend to leave them be and think about going fishing.
I'm going to tell you what, it was hot in the field.
Yeah, you were up in the Black Belt for dove hunt up there,
yep.
Where it was probably, 105?
Well, it felt like it was. I mean, just standing still, you're just sweating like a pig up there. It was terrible.
Right.
The dove hunting was pretty good. I mean, it was a pretty good shoot.
Right.
But the weather was just awful, you know?
Well, I mean, in certain years, we have cooler air by this time of year. Sometimes we don't.
That's right.
I've sweated in October dove hunts before, so that's not, anything new. But it is one of those things that, hey, we're lucky enough around here to have the option to go do something else, too.
Yeah. I went up with Mike Eubanks, hunting with him up there, and the day before we got up
in Dallas County.
Up in Dallas County, yeah. Right. And the day before we got up there, one thing that everybody needs to be aware of, they killed four rattlesnakes the day before. And they kill one. And
they were coming for you, Mike.
Yeah. And while they kill one, they look, and there was another one there
in
another place. But, they killed two at one time.
Yeah.
So, everybody that goes north and gets in the woods right now, they need to be careful.
Now, understand those snakes. Here's the difference. Those snakes have been there the whole time because that's where they live.
Yes.
Y'all just have showed up. They were out doing their thing, being rattlesnakes, doing rattlesnake stuff. It's not like they showed up because of the hunt. They've been out there. But now, all of a sudden, there's all these people out there, or they're getting ready for the hunt, and they're driving around the fields, and you're seeing them, right?
Yes, absolutely. So everybody just needs to be careful.
Yes.
There are lots of snakes out right now. And this is the time of the year that they breed.
Yep. Well,
In the fall.
There's a difference, too.
And they're on the move.
Yeah. And you'll see that through the summer, but most people aren't spending time in the woods.
Yes.
In July, or
it
early
like
August.
They just showed up. I mean,
right.
They've been there.
They've been
yes.
there doing their thing. It's not like, we'll talk about migration of species, whether we're talking about doves or we're talking about ducks, and we'll talk about both of those in a little bit, or speckled trout migrating up the bay. The snakes they're just kind of doing their thing in the snake zone. We've migrated into the area, so do be aware, and pay some attention. And to be honest with you, except for, some of the coldest weeks of our years here in South Alabama, there's a chance of running into them.
Absolutely.
I got stories that probably put the willies on you about sitting down to duck hunt in a clear cut in the Mobile Tensaw Delta and having 30, 45 minutes, sit down in the dark, having a hunt go by, stuff going by, and all of a sudden, instead of leaning over one way to where rest your arm on a tree, leaning over the other way and realize there's a cottonmouth that's coiled up behind you and he'd been there
since
daylight.
Yeah. Yep.
So, they're out and, as it gets colder, obviously they move slower, but still they're out there the whole time. They're out there in the winter, they're out there in the spring, they're out there in the fall, they're out there in the summertime.
Every year between Christmas and New Year's, it generally warms up. Every year it seems like it does. And every year when it warms up, people kill rattlesnakes. Every year you hear about it.
Yeah.
You see them. So, you just got to be careful. When it's warm in the woods, be careful.
Yep. And, it's one of these things, too, that there are people that get snake bitten just by walking around. But a lot of the cases we hear, too, if you don't know what you're doing, don't monkey with the snakes.
Yeah.
I mean,
don't fool with them.
You know, there's
a big stick, a long stick if you're going to.
Right. There's people that, absolutely get bitten, don't follow their own, walking through the woods, they get popped. And then there's also cases they may not tell you on Facebook, but you go back and hear the real story. They'll say, oh, I'll tell you what he's doing. He grabbed the snake and was going to throw it in the, you know. There's that happens as well.
Yeah.
And so once again, there's truth on both sides. There absolutely are people that are walking to go sit down to dove hunt or walking through the woods or walking through a field before they bush hog it or something and will get hit. I mean, heck, I mean, when I'm by myself working at the farm like I usually do, I usually have a pair of Chippewa knee boots on. Right, that I wear, just because
snake boots
I wear, and because I'm by myself, and you know the issues. You know, if I get hit, then it's how do I get myself possible? Okay, but at the same time, there's also a lot of people that go. Well, you hear the rest of the story, and there was some goings on. The person did something to get themselves in that situation.
Have you ever been bit?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I haven't either. As many.
Hold on, knocking on wood here. Yeah. Yeah,
me too. But as many times as I've been in the woods, now I have never been bit, but I have come close several times, really close several times, but I have never been bit.
Come close with them striking at you and missing you?
Yeah, well, just like you with
yeah.
the
oh yeah, I've been close to it. I've done that quite a few times.
Quite a few times. Turkey hunting, and I'm standing there, and I'm listening for a turkey, and just kind of look down on the ground, and there's one caught up right by a rattlesnake.
I've never had them strike at me.
No, I have not. I had one when I was walking through the woods turkey hunting about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, I was probably 6 feet from him walking by him, and I heard him, and I started looking for him. I saw him, and he was ready to bite me 6 foot away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what happened.
Well, that's why
fired him up, and I don't know. I can't imagine it with me because I wouldn't. I mean, normally I'd walk by. I'd never seen him, you know?
Right.
If he was just
having a bad day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've said this before, too, because he does that, and this gets me in trouble, too, with folks, but I consider the rattlesnake the gentleman of the woods.
Yeah, he lets you know he's going to bite you.
He lets you know. He gives you, versus a moccasin or a copperhead, which I hate.
For you.
Yes. But if you're looking at out of the poisonous snakes, the rattlesnake is the gentleman, at least.
He's going to let you know he's there.
Right. And at that point, just if you're not around the house, or if you're in the woods, just leave him the heck alone and go the other way, and you'll be all right. On the flip side, what gets me in trouble, too, and it's happened this last week, is my buddy was sending me some text pictures like, what is this? I'm about to kill it. And it was a gray rat snake. And there are, the non-poisonous snakes, I think, but people like kill them all. You know, around your camp or something, I'm telling you right now, a gray rat snake does you some good favors,
right,
man. You got rats, you got critters. Great rat snake's going to put the smack down on them.
Yeah,
so,
as long as you don't have holes in your camp where they can get up in your camp.
Right, but usually it's somebody like, this was a picture from a generator shed at his camp down the river.
It's and fine. They eat the rats and stuff.
I was like,
man. Leave them alone, yeah.
Let them do their thing. They're a useful friend to have around the camp. So the non-poisonous ones. And I tell you right now, too, some of the, the bigger non-poisonous ones, of course, will attack poisonous ones.
Yeah.
So when you see king snakes, there's a reason they're called king snake. They're the king.
Yep.
And they kill poisonous snakes.
Yeah, they kill copperheads.
Yeah.
That's another one you got to be.
That's what I said. That's my
copperheads are probably the.
That's what I said.
Worst.
That's my most unfavorite.
Yes.
Even after I said, cottonmouths and copperheads. Copperheads are the ones that bother me most. I've had probably some of my closest call or most aggressive behavior out of a poisonous snake out of a copperhead.
Yeah.
More than rattlesnake.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, copperheads have been an issue. I hate even talking about this now. I am going to go fishing this afternoon now after all this discussion about all the close calls we've had over time.
Oh, what about up at your camp? Did you get some discing done? Or
No. I was doing physical work on camp structure. So doing some of that and just trying to get some work done on the river camp and some things,
Too wet up there to do anything right now, or is it dried out?
Well, over at the farm, it would be dried out. At the river, down at the river, it's muddy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's way muddy, and just the afternoon thunderstorms are adding to it. So we'll be dealing with that here probably, I don't know, for another week or so. If this north wind keeps up and we don't get a bunch of rain, maybe things will get dried out.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Captain Wayne Miller is going to join us. We'll talk some bass fishing as we're getting into that beautiful fall time of year out there. He'll join us next. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you along. And watching our folks out to the east of us. Of course, Florence is what is bringing us some north winds, although not as not cool air, not drier, no, but a little bit of north and west in the issue.
A little drier air, though.
A little bit better.
Makes it a little bit better, maybe, but...
It doesn't faze this guy.
Much.
Hey, this guy's been fishing through the heat of summer and will fish into the heat of fall or whatever presents him because he's going to go chase those bass. Our buddy Captain Wayne Miller checking in. Hey, Captain Wayne.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing good. So how's fishing been?
Well, you know, it's kind of been crazy, man. With the fluctuations that we've had on the rivers.
Yeah, Gordon.
You know, there's been some people that have just absolutely killed the fish up on both the Alabama and the Tom Bigby. But that's been, you know, with the rise in water and then it was falling. So, you know, that was one of those deals where if you were there at the right place at the right time on the right day, it was magical. And then the next day, it's nothing.
Yeah, so I was talking about that last segment. I was actually up at my camp working up on the river on the Tom Bigby over the weekend doing some construction work on the camp there and saw it went a ton of boats, but there were some boats, and I saw them in some specific spots a couple different times. And then the water was, I mean, it was up while I was there, it dropped probably 2.5 feet up there while I was there because I was watching it on our dock.
Right.
But there were some people that posted up on some drains while we were there and fishing those. And yeah, big drains, too, not like little stuff I think about, but some bigger drains they were fishing.
Right. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of the way that is. You just have to be there at the right time. Now, you know, what we've got now is the rivers have dropped back down, like the Mobile. It's down at almost 3 feet. So, you know, it's back to what we would consider normal pool for this time of year. And, it's cleaned up some, but not completely. But the fishing in the middle and the lower delta is still good right now.
And do you see that changing? I mean, it was a flood, but is it enough that it would really shake anything out down on the south end?
Not really. I mean, and I'm still seeing plenty of shrimp.
Okay, that was my next question.
South end too.
Yeah, that was my next question. So you're still seeing the shrimp, so obviously that's still going. And I can't imagine with it not being a massive, massive flood that would be enough to shut down this transition into the fall fishing.
No, it's not. You know what I mean? And a lot of people think, well, with a big, you know, surge of fresh water like that, it'll wash those shrimp out. But I think they just basically get a little deeper, and, you know, the salt water is obviously, you know, on the bottom. So, you know, they seem to rebound pretty quick. And hopefully going into October, we'll start seeing that really big push of the white shrimp up in the delta. And that's what we have every year. Just about, and it just makes the fishing phenomenal.
Yeah, let me give you some intel from the other end. I know that Captain Bobby says he's seeing the fish start pulling north. Those are the trout. So if they're following the shrimp, then there's a sign they're on their way,
they're
Captain
coming.
Wayne.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't claim to be an expert on trout fishing for sure, but I can tell you one thing about those trout. I have noticed they're going to follow the bait.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you may catch them right here today, and if all that bait migrates up, you know, a mile or two up the river system tomorrow and you go back to that same place, you'll be out of luck, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Those trout, I mean, they really move with the bait. So that's a real good indicator.
It's not like a bass where a bass kind of hang around its territory, you know.
Yeah,
it's
log, you
know, or stump.
Yeah. They'll pile up there, and that's kind of home.
That's right. Yeah, then they're going to wait for the bait to come to them, and when it comes, they'll take advantage of it, and when it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
And then next day, there'll be some more bait come by.
Yeah, well, you know, like I say, I'm still seeing the shrimp, and, you know, I've talked to some people you know, just a myriad of different techniques. I talked to a guy yesterday that was catching them some really good fish in the middle, throwing deep diving crawfish crankbaits. And then, you know, I've been doing pretty good on spinner baits down around the grass and, you know, fishing a worm and a lizard fairly fast.
Speaking of the grass, I was just saying, how's it looking this year? I mean, earlier in the year it was good, but I guess we've kept enough fresh water coming through. Is it looking good?
Oh yeah, man, it's looking fantastic. I mean, there's places down there that are choked up with grass that you hadn't seen it in so long. It almost scares you when you see it, but it's great for the fishing. There's no doubt about that.
The fishing right now, the guy using the crankbait, is he in the creeks or is he in the river fishing?
Yeah, he's primarily in the bigger creeks off the Tensaw.
Okay. Well, are you fishing the river some right now yourself, or is it too dingy?
Yeah, I run out and fish the river quite a bit, especially on up in the day. I love to, you know, one of my primary techniques this time of year is to find on any of the rivers, the main rivers, is to find those vertical drop banks. You know, and typically that would be like outside bends where you've got any kind of cover, be it wood, grass, whatever, and, you know, pulling up tight and pitching plastic and a jig into that.
Yep. Yeah, you're talking about where the water is deep in the bend.
Right.
Right, okay. Well, you like a sandbar on the other side, maybe, or something, but in the curve of the river to be deeper.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it, man. And, you can bounce really from one river to another, and any of those tight banks, you're going to find stretches that are holding fish this time of year. I mean, it's just a great pattern to run.
Now, let me ask you about this. You start talking about grass. You start talking about fishing down the south end. You still catching redfish?
Man, you can't get away from redfish, Sean. I mean,
throw me in that briar patch.
I have, but I mean, really, if you go down there and throw bass tackle, you're going to catch redfish.
So the population is still looking good.
Oh, man, it's everybody I talk to, that's not just me. Anybody you talk to that's fishing this delta, you know, they'll tell you, man, it's absolutely astonishing the numbers of reds.
Are you finding them more when you talk about this? I know we're trying to focus on bass with you, but I got to pick your brain, and I like to fish reds on the causeway too. Are you finding them right now in one pattern more than another? Because you just talked to Mike. You do run out to the river and fish some deeper stuff. You do fish the grass. Are they up by the grass? Are they in the deeper? Are they in both? Where are you seeing them more?
You know, typically what I've seen here recently is out on the main rivers, anywhere you got flats that have any kind of vegetation on them, right where you see that drop-off in the deeper water is where you're seeing bait migrating back and forth, and that's primarily where I've seen the majority of the redfish. But, you know, I mean, at times there's no rhyme and reason to it. You catch them everywhere. And, you know, one of the primary baits that I love to throw year-round down on the Delta is a watermelon chartreuse tail lizard. And, man, that's one of the best redfish baits I've ever seen.
How about that?
I'm making a note.
If you throw it, you're gonna catch those reds. They absolutely love that thing.
Isn't it amazing, out of all these years, Wayne, to fish that Delta and all, you know, the redfish didn't used to be that way 15, 20 years ago.
I've talked about it. This is the golden age. I mean, I've started hunting fish on the causeway in the 80s, and I have every year, I'll tell you, I've never seen the redfishing as good as that year.
Not even
every
close.
Year it seems to be the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, the great thing, if you want to target redfish, it's like right now, any of those flats that you run up and down the river, if you see any kind of bird, if you see any bait, you know, you can stop and you can take, the redfish, you know, they're usually pretty willing participants in this whole big game. And I love to throw shallow diving crankbait, a baby one minus made by Mann's Bait Company.
Yeah.
And a chartreuse or a red, you know, it's a bait that you can throw a half a mile even if the wind's blowing. It doesn't dive deep, so it doesn't get hung up And, man, you can just cover a ton of water. And those redfish, they absolutely love that bait.
Okay, let's talk about what is coming. And you're talking about the shrimp being there. We're talking about redfish. We are looking forward to fall fishing when you'll be throwing all those other baits, but you'll also have us pitching DOAs and all that. When do you envision that starting? I mean, is it? I know it's not as calendar-based as it is water temp, right?
Right, yeah. And I've been catching a few fish on DOAs and the voodoo shrimp, but, you know, based on what we're seeing right now, if we don't have one of those nasty things that mm-hmm. ends with a H, mm-hmm. You know, I think we're probably right on cue for around the end of September to really start seeing that shrimp bite pick up quite a bit.
I know you talked about the water temperature had dropped a little bit last time we talked to you. What's the water temperature now?
You know, it's fluctuated quite a bit due to all that rain that we had, Mike. But, yeah. I mean, it's in the mid to lower 80s. And, you know, a lot of that depends on, you know, where you are. If you're out in the main rivers or up in the creek.
Right.
Days, and obviously some of these days where we have a lot of high sky and that bright sun, you know, the bays and stuff, you know, they warm up. They get up pretty hot.
Yep. All right. Let's do this because we got head out. I want to get information from you for people booking a trip for this great fall fishing right now, any time of the year with you, finding those bass. How do they do it?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
Man who spends more water time in the Mobile Tensaw Delta than any other man I know, Captain Wayne Miller. Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne.
All right, guys. Have a great one.
Hi, boy.
All right. Coming back, more of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you along. And a pretty darn good report from Captain Wayne Miller. And he's talking about catching redfish mixed in with his bass on the north end up in the Delta.
All the time.
Yeah.
Occasionally, he's catching them all the time.
You know, and it's gotten better and better every year up there. It's something we've talked about with this man over the years, too, Captain Charlie Gray with Gray Gulf Charters, because he and I, growing up fishing around Dolphin Island as boys, it was like a big deal when you caught slot reds at the island. I mean, there were a few places like go to this hole, catch one or two here. You know, that'd be a big deal. I've watched the population down there blossom as well. So, I mean, overall, redfish are, I think, the best they've ever been in my lifetime that I can remember. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, guys, morning. It seems like, especially right now, too, right after this tropical storm moves through, I don't know what it is, but redfish have been, you have to get through the redfish. It's almost like snapper offshore. You got to fight through the redfish to find a speckled trout.
Throw me in that briar patch. Yeah. I'll take that anytime. And what's good, too, is when
pumpkin patch.
Yeah, well, it's good because we're talking about slots as well. As the bull red population was protected and increased, we could go catch those and release those. And then here come the slot fish. And, you know, it used to be it was easy. Maybe you could find a rat red, but finding one that was keeper size or something, 18, 19, 20, 22 inches, was a little harder. But that's now become a pretty regular thing as well.
It is. It's fun, too, and they're such – you never know what size they're going to be when you hook into one and how that fight's going to be, but you know, like you and I earlier this summer, you know when it's a redfish.
That's for sure.
Do you contribute that to the regulations that we're not killing the bull reds anymore, or is it just an anomaly?
I think we've just got a very strong fishery. I think it's really, really good. You know, when we were out on the front there on Dixie Bar earlier this year, sometimes, you know, it just – if the sharks aren't there, the redfish are there, and they're in the same spots over and consistently over and over. And I think they're really adding to the population. It's really helping us. I do agree with that, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what else to be, but I, like me and Sean was talking about with Wayne Miller, that, you know, the Causeway for years and years and years, I've been fishing over there forever. I mean, you'd never catch a redfish over there, hardly. It'd just be a very rare
catch
occasion.
One once in a while. You know, I had a couple of holes I would go to, and you'd catch that redfish once in a while.
Kind of a big thing if you caught one. But, now it's just
there all summer. I mean, it's been on all summer long, which really is good for us down here because when the snapper season, Sean, like you and I, Mike, we've talked about, when the snapper season ends, everybody starts concentrating on the inshore. But when you can spread those people out over 35 miles a bay, and let them redfish in the Delta or south of the Causeway or fish the Mobile River for trout and the canal, it really helps everybody out.
Sure it does. It does help spread everything out. Yeah.
And yeah, that's what's nice. It's not just specific spots. It's stretching over the entirety of the bay. And that's one thing I've noticed over time. That the redfish are a little more, even though I'm sure there are plenty of red, and we know the bull reds migrate, and I'm sure there's slot fish that migrate, but it seems like as some of the trout start to pull away from the island and places in the south end of the bay following shrimp, there's still plenty of redfish that stay put.
They do. They're not going anywhere. They go up to the marsh and they stay. And of course, we travel that way too, so we don't really concentrate on our inshore reefs or any of our normal summertime haunts. We kind of follow them, too, as well, but I would be guessing that they're still not just on the front beach out there on the bar where they stay all winter long, too, but probably inshore, you know, around the reefs.
Now let's talk about what else goes on this time of year. Trout fishing, you and I were talking that, you know, you can catch them deep, you can catch them shallow, catch them in between. I mean, kind of how are you patterning them right now?
Yeah, we're still doing the summer pattern, still staying, you know, either slip corks in the warmer part of the morning. Afternoon, especially on afternoon by over the falling tide, and then still doing slip corks early too, but can do the popping cork thing. You get up in more shallow waters in Grand Bay and Balabatry in that area. Shrimp still.
Yeah, well, what I was saying. How is it finding shrimp right now?
Still not hard. Still not hard. Now the bait shop, one on the island, still open. Maurice is already gone to his next venture, you know, selling mullet for the year. He's already moved on. He always closes at Labor Day, but March at the marina is still open. But like I say all the time, y'all need to call these people before you make a trip because they will start running out, and Jemison may have some Sundays and not, but usually the guys at Gear River, CNS, they keep shrimp, and Scott's on the Causeway will have shrimp all year long.
Are they having trouble catching shrimp right now, or is there plenty of shrimp? You know,
everything's been fine down our way. You know.
Yeah.
Jimmy Noel's good, you know, at Deer River, and he stays on them, and he always finds shrimp somehow, even when he goes up in the farther north.
If you're just joining us, talking to Captain Charlie Gray Gulf Charters, and down on the south end of the bay, let's talk about some other things going on right now. As it feels like summer, and it still technically is summer, but we always like to look forward and talk about fall fishing. And there's one, you know, segment of fall fishing. We talk about the Delta and all that stuff going on, but there's a whole other thing that goes on too down in your neck of the woods, and that is ling migration. People think about, we always talk ling migration. Oh, it's April. It's May. Yeah. We're ling migration, but we never talk about, oh, yeah, they got to go back.
Yeah.
And those and triple tail blackfish, talk about what happens in the fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's and to me, sometimes the ling don't seem to come through as thick as they in April as they do when they come back in September.
That's because we caught a bunch of them.
Yeah,
that's because we caught them and put them in the freezer.
Yeah, well, that too. But the ones that are coming back have been quality fish, the ones I've seen out there. You know, get around the ships, around the ship channel buoys, around any kind of structure. We've even seen them inshore, inside the island, around the CCA reefs. They've been down there. So anywhere you can find structure, have a rod ready with some croakers or a big curly-tailed jig or something ready to throw at them, because they'll be there. And the triple tail is the same way. The blackfish, they'll move back through till about the mid, when it gets really cooled off, they'll start progressing farther offshore. And like we've said in the past, I think some of these arrested fish that stay around the oil rigs offshore, because you see some guys over in Mississippi and Louisiana catching them into December. So they don't get too far.
You know, I was thinking about that with the return migration for ling, and just really studying what you've done down there, because I have not done near the fishing for ling in the fall that I've done in the spring. You know, in the spring, there's two things. You find them on the offshore structure. Also, there's that kind of beach thing where you're trying to pattern them coming down the beaches in waves and pulses of fish. In the fall, you talked about the ships. You talked about those kind of places. Is there anything that's like in spring? Is there any fishing with those ling migrating down the beach? Would that be worth doing, or is it kind of different?
It seems to be different. Now, I can't, you know, it could be. I saw some video the other day. Somebody said they could tell it was a shark or a ling up on the beach, and it ended up, I think, being a shark was a general consensus. But we always fish the structure. We'll start with the buoys and just start heading off, you know, from the lighthouse south and just hit everything, depending on how many ships are out there and if they're around. But the buoys obviously are still holding bait or going to hold bait, and there's a lot of bait in the south end of the bay right now, minnows and pogies and mullet and everything. So there's a good bit of bait out there.
What about the tarpon? You know, this is the time of year that tarpon's usually really good, mm-hmm. too.
Any I heard a couple of reports, yeah. Yeah, sometimes I think people may get confused with the skipjack, and they say, well, what about him? Well, baby, he was only about 24 inches long, 36 inches long.
Ladyfish, so, yeah.
Close to no cigar, but, yeah, I've heard a report, too, Mike, off the, I was telling Sean the other day, off the Gulf State Park area up around the pier, somebody hooked into a nice one, so they're making the progression as well.
Now, and another thing I want to throw in the mix, too, that we're talking about earlier in the week was Spanish. And it seemed like the Spanish were pretty thick and some pretty decent-sized Spanish showing up at the south end of the bay. I guess they've been there, actually, since the spring, but they seem to be on the chew.
It was a good Spanish year. They really were. They, of course, they get in our way often because we're not using wire leader. And
right.
They make a mess of things, and, you know, you get through 40. Like I told you, one day we had to lend another guy hooks because we were running out of hooks. There's so many fitty critters on the reef. So. Yeah.
But when you do rig that little bit of wire leader, you start catching decent-sized Spanish over about a pound, pound and a half. Those are sure fun. I like them. They're fun to catch.
They're fun, but it seems like the sharks are right behind them usually, so it kind of ruins all the fun. But the sharks will move on, give everything a break, move to another reef, come back, and, you know, catch all the Spanish you want just about.
What about the other one I'm going to ask you about? Well, Mike, you had.
No.
I was going to ask him about my favorite. What about the white trout? What are you hearing?
Not yet, you know.
Because that's a thing that happens.
Really gotten into sure. Them yet. A little early, I guess. Water's still a little warm there. But it won't be long. They'll be hitting, running those minnows. They'll be on, and they'll stay here through the winter, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk to people about that. So if, you know, going forward the next month or two, I'm here to, and I will argue this point till the day they put me in the grave, that fresh, that white trout's as good eating as speckled trout. If fresh fillets of white trout are as good
better,
as speckled trout. Yeah, and maybe even better.
Yeah.
A lot more of it.
You know, it's so, yes, but they are, when it's right, too, you can very quickly get the food you need for a fish fry or something like that. So going forward, when we talk about these white trout, we'll often say the yellow mouth, you know, a big white trout, are you keying on them on the gas rigs? Are you on the reefs? Are you on the flats? Where do you go find that fall fishing for
around
for white
the
trout?
Reefs? I go to the west. I find them more to the west, but I'll stop around Katrina Cut, check in there, check those flats right there on that area, and then fish around the Katrina Cut rigs and the rig, and then back to the west and just any kind of structure. But they'll stay on that structure all the way through until it gets really, really, really cold.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you been down to the Katrina Cut rig lately?
You going to ask me what all those floating things
yeah,
are?
Yeah, what in the world is that? There's buoys everywhere.
They're
what
not
is
crab traps, I'll tell you that. They have something to do with the pipeline that cuts through there. That's where the pipeline, that's what caused Katrina Cut. That was a pumping station, so that's where the pipeline comes from across the Gulf from Tampa. It cuts through right in there, and then goes up toward Balabatri in the Mississippi.
But what are the buoys doing? What are their purpose?
Nobody seems to really know. The oil companies have gotten a lot differently lately, I've been told by some people. You know, we were trying to put some rocks around some of the lower bay gas rigs, and they have always let the state do that. Now they cut the state off and won't let them get near it. So what they're doing around their property, you know, that's their lease. Nobody knows, Mike.
How many buoys are we talking about? How big?
I'm going to say, yeah. 50, 60, 70, I don't know.
It looks like somebody pulled up everybody's crab traps and dumped them in one spot.
Right there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
makes,
I know what you're thinking.
Makes note to self. Makes note to self. Time to get some big shrimp and some braid with a heavy fluorocarbon
and go
leader.
Catch big buoys.
Yeah, that's right. Which is probably that actually is what happens, especially when the other person goes, "Oh, I think I got him now." You're like, "Oh no, right. That buoy's moved." Don't set the. Oh, you just set the.
Yeah,
hook.
Don't set the hook. Too late.
They just did. All right, do us a favor. Somebody wants to get down with you right now. Do some of that fishing or going into fall fishing. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, I'm at 251-379-5067, Charlie at GregGulfCharters.com, on the Instagram, Captain Charlie Gray Fishing, Facebook, Greg Gulf Charters. Come on, let's go.
All right, good stuff, and we appreciate it. Coming right back, we'll wrap it up here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, and a lot of stuff to do. We talked a lot of fishing, but I do want to throw this in. I mean, you talked about your dove shoot up in Dallas County. I've seen some decent pictures from North Zone dove shoots. I also saw kind of feast or famine when it came to blue-winged teal as teal season opened up. And I saw some people that had some limits and some good hunts. I also had some people that posted up, hey, where'd they go? I guess they had been scouting them and had them before season and did not have them. I can tell you this for what it's worth. I get a picture on Facebook from my nephew who lives in Kansas. Okay?
Yeah.
So he's up in Kansas, and they got the birds right now. So if you wonder, the teal. So not saying there aren't some here, but there's a bunch still north. You know, I'm not saying
just
what
hadn't got here yet.
Yeah. Now, of course, he's in a different flyway. He's in the central flyway, and we're in the Mississippi and all that. But this last week, he's in Kansas. I think they shot. It was like an 8-man limit. Okay, so six teals, 8-man limit in like 55 minutes.
They got birds.
They got birds. They got birds, and that's do. So.
See,
I don't.
That's hunting.
Yeah,
that's
shooting.
That's real hunting. Now, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when you go and have a shoot like that,
that's good.
That's really good.
Hey, and I've had teal hunts like that here in the Delta before. You know, I mean, I've many times had those kind of teal shoots. I've talked about some in the past. I remember some memorable ones with my old lab, long since gone. But I remember some hunts here where we had three guys in the boat on the shoot, and she never got back in the boat. In other words, we started shooting. Birds started falling, and as she was bringing a bird back to the boat, and I was taking the bird, she was going to get the next bird, and we were shooting birds while, you know, she was still getting birds.
That's good.
Three-man limit of boat birds. The dog never got back in the boat. She was constantly getting birds, and then we were finished. Yeah. And it was, you know, like a 15-minute deal. And that's when you're there on the right day, that happens here. All I'm saying is there's some teal here, but don't worry if you're still looking at skies and going, are we going to get them for that last weekend? There's still lots of birds to our – I know Kansas is not to our north, but if they're up in Kansas like that in the Central Flyway, I bet you Tennessee, places like that, North Alabama, have a bunch of birds right now that we just need a little more north wind. They may be coming in with this north wind, but a little more north wind, just a little dry front come through, will probably be stacked up with teal. Yeah. So,
what if the storm that we had – week before last, that made any difference with the teal?
Well, you know, the only thing that if you get a storm that's in the Gulf and you get a north wind at the same time, it's a great thing because those teal, my belief is they sense that low pressure and they don't try to make the hop across the Gulf, and they seem to, it's like putting a plug in a bathtub.
Yeah.
You know, the old stopper.
They just stop.
They stop and it kind of build up along the coast. Whereas if you don't have a storm and you get those north winds, you'll have birds like on Saturday and you'll be like, man, and tomorrow we're going to go rip them up again and they're gone.
They're gone.
Or you, Friday, you didn't have birds and Saturday you got them. You know, they come through in waves like that. But if you get some kind of disturbance in the Gulf, it seems like they all just kind of stop and pile up and pile up. We haven't had any of those scenarios really line up this year. Now, one thing you can say, Gordon put a lot of water down in places, and maybe there's some flooded corners of fields in some places that might spread the birds out some.
Yeah.
You know, but it's been pretty, you know, we had a situation. We've had a pretty wet summer. It's not a drought summer for sure.
No, we've had a real rainy season.
So, and you've got a lot of places for those birds to go. So just kind of a, you know, maybe this last weekend coming, not this, and this weekend may be great too. I don't know. I have not gotten to go out, but this next, going into the final weekend of teal season around here, maybe be a barn burner. We can hope, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also you can always send those pictures in too, to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Love to see those, whether you're dove shoots or, you know, working
you're fishing,
on your
you're fishing, deer, working on your turkey, whatever it is. It doesn't make any difference. Send them in.
You know, one good thing about, I would urge you if you're kind of a habitat management workaholic like Mike and I can be too. You know, I've been thinking about fishing, but I'm also very tempted the fact that Dr. Bill has very reduced rain chances today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
In the mix. Still a chance, but it's not a big chance. If you're going to spray, if you're going to lay down some, because it's been so rainy that it's like about the time you get ready to spray Roundup, you know, you get on into the morning and let the sun get up. Then around our place, I'm like, God bless, there's a thunderstorm popping up.
Yeah, and it needs to, that,
today, tomorrow,
that
you have
to be
a window.
Your plants for about 3 to 4 hours before rain.
Yep. And
for
so,
it to kill it.
And you probably have a good window here if you're thinking about, well, what should I do today? Now, you might want to go chase those trout at the south end of the bay, or the redfish at the north end of the bay, or the bass, or go do something else. But if you're looking at what you may need to do, it may be your chance to lay down some herbicide and get that work done, you know, so you're not trying to do it later on. So,
It's been so wet up the country, we haven't been able to bush hog.
Y'all can't get in.
This. I mean, it's just, we don't want to tear the roads up.
Yep.
I mean, it's just been way too wet to do that right now. So hopefully this dry weather we got, little stretch we got here now, might dry things out, but we can get up there and get some stuff done.
That's for sure. All right, we got to get out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way next. We'll see you next week.
All right, we're gone.